What kind of Tsarist began afterwards?
Well, right after the title was translated and the Goyim started mingling with the Yidden, there were groups of Yidden that started to associate themselves with the Greek culture. They were called Misyavnim. Greek-style cities popped up all over.
Yeah, what does that mean?
They started going to gymnasiums, and the Greeks did terrible things in gymnasiums. And they wanted to show a hefkeris, like there's nothing that can stop us, and believe in their avodah zarah. And some of the Yidden started enjoying it.
Gefell, that's terrible.
Terrible indeed.
Ah, and that's when the Maccabees bought the elephants, right?
Yitzchak.
Sorry.
Well, eventually, Talmai tried to go into the Beis HaMikdash and destroy it, but he felt faint.
Good for him, Kimtzachim.
And slowly but surely, he started to lose everything afterwards. Then Antiochus from the north came, and he took over Eretz Yisrael.
Antiochus, huh? Get Russia Merusha. I'll whip him to pieces!
Actually, the first Antiochus took over Eretz Yisrael, and he treated the Yidden well.
He did?
That's right. He rebuilt Yerushalayim. He donated animals for Karbanis.
Wait a minute! The whole Hanukkah story says that Antiochus was a big Rasha.
That was different. That was Antiochus, his grandchild.
The first Antiochus was a big tzaddik?
Well, he wasn't a big tzaddik, but he wasn't so bad.
Oh.
But his grandson was terrible.
Yeah, that's what happens with grandchildren sometimes.
He said that he needs gold to pay his taxes. And the Misyavnim went and they told him there's gold in the Beis HaMikdash. So he sent Heliodorus.
Who?
Heliodorus, famous Greek general.
Oh, I know him.
He came charging toward the Beis HaMikdash.
Let me in! Let me in!
Please, please!
I heard that there's money here. The king needs the money. Get out of my way!
No, no. The money here is shkalim for karbonis, and the rest is money that is invested for widows and for orphans.
Get out of my way! I'm not interested in your stories!
He started approaching the Beis HaMikdash, and suddenly everyone looked up, and they saw a heavenly horse with an armed rider rush at him and strike him. Two young men appeared and flogged him mercilessly.
That should have taught him a lesson.
They had to carry him away, and he can barely catch his breath.
So right afterwards, surely everyone believed in Hashem.
Nah, let me tell you something. Even in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a Dothan and Aviram who didn't believe in Hashem. The Misyavnim claimed that he made up the story. And now, that Antiochus died, and his grandson took over.
How many grandsons are there?
This was the Antiochus, the real Russia. They called him Antiochus Epiphanes.
What does Epiphanes mean?
The illustrious.
What does illustrious mean?
It means, you know, that he's big and beautiful and great and colorful.
Ah, like me.
Behind his back, however, they would joke. Instead of calling him Antiochus Epiphanes, they called him Antiochus Epimanes.
What does that mean?
That is Greek for madman.
Oh, like me.
It's okay, please. This Antiochus came, and he erected statues all over. He removed the Tzaddik Yoichanan, who was then Kohen Gadol, and he put in Kohanim Gedolim that were big, big Rishayim. He charged into Yerushalayim. He entered into the Beis HaMikdash, and he wanted to steal the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash.
He wasn't scared to go in?
The Misyavnim were the ones, those Yiddish Misyavnim, who said,
Antiochus, you have nothing to worry about. Go in there.
I don't know. I am a little scared.
Don't be scared.
And may I ask, who are you exactly?
My name is Yosef Meshisha.
Yosef, go in. Go in. And you take something out for me. I'm a little scared.
Okay, Antiochus. Can I keep what I take out?
A deal. Whatever you take out, you can keep.
Then I am going in.
Yosef, you're a Yid. How dare you walk into the Beis HaMikdash?
I don't believe in this. Antiochus promised I can have whatever I can keep whatever I take out. Oh, I think I'm scared. Let's see. Oh, the big, beautiful menorah. I think I'm going to take out the big, beautiful menorah.
He walked out with the menorah.
Wow! Wow! I've never seen anything so nice in my life! Oh!
Well, anyway, Antiochus, I'll see you.
No! You can't take that!
What do you mean I can't take that? You promised me I could take out whatever I...
You can't take that! That is for a king. Take something else.
But you promised.
I don't care what I promised!
Oh, you are betraying me.
How dare you talk to me that way!
Oh no, I betrayed the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to gain the friendship of this Greek king, and now he's betraying me and I have nothing!
Go back in and bring something else out!
No, I have betrayed Hashem, and now I see I have lost my Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh.
Go back in!
No, I'm not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash.
What? You just did!
And it was a terrible mistake, and I won't do it again.
Go in and I will give you a position of great power!
No!
I will make you the richest Jew on earth!
No! I betrayed Hashem once, and I won't do it again.
So, I'm gonna tell you one more time. Either you go into that Beis HaMikdash, or I will deal with you in the harshest ways.
I will not betray Hashem again. I see at the end, if you turn against Hashem, you don't have this world and you don't have the world to come.
Put him into that machine that chops up wood.
It won't help. It won't help. I won't betray Hashem. Oh!
I don't think I'm going to be able to eat lunch today. He put him into that machine?
That's right.
How did he turn from such a big rusher to a tzaddik in one moment?
You know something? There's a pintle yid in every single yid. Some tzaddikim say that because he entered the Beis HaMikdash and even touched the menorah, that had a profound effect on him.
So did Antiochus just leave?
I wish he would have just left. He took the golden mizbeach. He made 13 huge, big holes in the Beis HaMikdash. And then Antiochus went totally out of his mind. He wanted every one of his countries to believe only in him. And the Mesyavnim kept on pushing him further.
Antiochus!
Yes, what do you want?
We suggest that you stop the Jews from sacrificing the carbon tamid every single day. That gives them extra protection.
I order it stopped!
We suggest you set up altars and sacrifice hogs on it.
I order that you do that!
The Mesyavnim had a meeting with him to decide which basic elements of Yiddishkeit should be stopped first.
Oh no! Don't tell me! Next he made a law that you can't eat kishka!
What? Did he make a law that you can't eat kishka?
No.
He made a law no hamantashen or krepla?
Yitzchak, pay attention. He did aser kashrus, but the main things he asered was Shabbos. No more Jews being Shomer Shabbos.
I knew it! No Kishka and Shabbos. Ah! That Russia my Russia!
But that wasn't enough. He said no Bris Mila, and he said no Rosh Chodesh.
No Rosh Chodesh! Oh no! I'm always the one to get the bang to say Yalva 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 Rosh Chodesh. And my Rebbe used to give donuts on Rosh Chodesh. And then he goes and he says no Rosh Chodesh!
You're missing the main point. All the Yamim Tovim depend on when Bezin is Mekadosh de Levana.
Anyway, so where did this all lead to? Let me ask you something. Are there Mesyavnim today?
No, there's nothing left of the Mesyavnim. But unfortunately, throughout our history, there always were Yidden who were led astray, away from the Rabbanim, away from Yiddishkeit, away from the Mesyra in Torah Shabbat Peh. Sometimes they were called Tzedaikim, sometimes they were called Karoyim, sometimes they were called Shafsai Tzvinikis.
Too much for me already. I give out.
When he stormed into the Beis HaMikdash, there was a girl there by the name of Miriam. Miriam Bas Bilga. She jumped up on the Mizbeach, and she began to scream.
Lucas! Lucas!
Yeah, who's Lucas?
It means wolf, wolf. She began to scream. She meant to say, as the Marsha explains it, that the sheep were the carbon tamid. The Mizbeach eats it up.
And you don't protect Klal Yisrael!
D- This Miriam Busbilda, she's not nice.
Chazal didn't think so either. As a matter of fact, the whole shift of Kayhanan Bilga was punished.
Why? What's it their fault that this one girl, Miriam Busbilda, talked so chutzpahdik?
Chazal felt if she can talk that way about the Mizbeach, she must have heard something like this at home.
Oh. How were they punished?
While the lechem upon him was divided Shabbos by day, 6 for the new shift of Kehanan and 6 for the old, the incoming Mishma received their portion in the north.
Yeah.
Well, when the shift of Bilga, the family of Bilga came, they did not receive their incoming portion on the north side.
What else happened?
There was a kind of a ring.
A ring? That you put on your finger?
No, a big ring. They would stick the neck of the animal into it to prevent it from turning so you can shecht it, and you would have to adjust this ring one way or another.
I'm still confused.
When you want a shecht, you have to hold the animal one place. So they would stick the head of the animal, the neck of the animal, through this ring, and then they would shift it into place so they can shecht it.
Yeah, so what did they do to Bilga's ring?
They made sure that it shouldn't be able to turn.
Like the handlebars of my bicycle.
The handlebars of your bicycle doesn't turn?
Nope.
So, what happens, let's say, when you're going to yeshiva and you want to turn away?
That's the good thing about it. I can't turn away. I have to keep going to yeshiva.
The other thing they did was their windows were stuffed up where they used to keep things.
Oh, like my lockers.
Who stuffed up your lockers?
They stuffed the pekala. Every time there's an offer.
I don't want to hear.
And they were all punished for what Miriam said?
That's right. When you say something, that is a reflection on your entire family.
Well, the Yidden were in trouble. At least they were able to learn.
Oh, no. Antiochus ordered all Svarim to be burnt.
I'll bet every Yidden had a secret Svarim shank.
It wasn't so easy. He ordered that everyone take the locks off their doors.
Yikes.
He also ordered they should hang a sign on their axin.
On their axin? Like a bumper sticker?
That's right. That says, we have no chelik b'lekei Yisrael.
That's terrible.
Eventually, Antiochus left.
Who did he put in charge?
Philippus.
Ah, Philippus. Is he nice?
Not at all. He was a terrible Rasha. The first thing that he did was he ordered old Elazar HaKoyen to come before him. Elazar HaKoyen was one of the people who translated the Torah.
Elazar! Just bow down to this idol here and eat from the meat sacrificed to it, and you can go home!
Never. I will never do it.
Psst! Elazar, you're an old man. Listen, I will secretly pass you kosher meat, okay? Just let everyone think that you're eating meat that is not kosher.
Never. Never, Chas V'Shalom, will I mislead my people.
My boss says if you don't eat it, I'm going to have to kill you.
Your boss says one thing, and my boss says, be killed, but don't lead Klal Yisrael astray.
Men, take this stubborn old man and beat him to death.
Rabbi Nishalaylam, I don't mind the pain, but please, let it be. Let it be a kapara for Klal Yisrael.
So, was Philippus successful in getting the Yidden?
Well, the Misyavnim were anyway not frum, but the frum Yidden, they didn't give one inch.
Ben Antiochus wasn't too happy about that.
You should hear what happened when Antiochus got the report from Philippus.
You shrimp muscle, what you are! Why, if I was in charge, there wouldn't be a single frum person left in all of Israel!
Your Majesty, the frum Jews are very stubborn.
I don't want any excuses!
Very well, Your Majesty. I have brought you over here a mother and 7 children. That's why I stopped you over here on your way back in the city of Tzvas.
All right, I'll show you how to make them not believe in Hashem. Bring me the oldest child. You're such a nice little boy. Why don't you just bow down right over here to the idol, okay? And everything will be all right.
It's a pity you're wasting your words. We are ready with Mesiras Nefesh.
You don't understand. You're in trouble if you don't bow down to this.
I told you, Antiochus, they are a stubborn...
Oh, be quiet! When I'm finished, I'll get them to bow down. Bring me an iron pot. Bow down or I chop off your tongue.
Never.
I'll chop off your hands and feet.
Never.
Put his body down on a copper pan over coals.
Never. Never. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad.
Well, Antiochus, I told you there.
Oh, be quiet. Bring me the second son. Now, you saw what happened to your older brother, didn't you?
Hurry with the fire, and don't waste your words. Our neshamis will live forever, and you will rot forever.
Take him away!
I must say, Your Majesty, you are really frightening them.
Oh, be quiet! Bring me the third son!
You think you're going to scare me? We are a kapara for Klal Yisrael.
Take him away! Bring me the next son!
Little sweet boy. Hi. How would you like for me to give you the biggest toy store that ever existed?
Don't even talk to me, you Achzar.
No! Take him away! Take him away! Bring me the fifth son.
Thank you.
Thank you for what?
I'm not talking to you. Thank you, Hashem, for the schus that I should be a kapara on Klal Yisrael. And through me, this Russia will be avenged.
Oh! Bring me the sixth son!
We deserve to be punished, but that has nothing to do with you. You will still suffer for punishing us.
Don't!
Bring me the seventh son. Oh, this cute little boy. You better bow down, or else you may make me look like a fool in front of all my men.
Oh, Your Majesty, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't want to make me look like a fool, right?
You already look like a fool in front of all your men.
No!
If you bow down, I will make you second in command. I will make you my Mishnah Lamech. I will put a crown on your head.
You old fool. How do you know you'll even be alive tomorrow?
Bring me their mother. Hana, convince him. You have only one son left. Convince him.
Yes, Your Majesty. I'll convince him. My dear little child, have the courage, please. You will complete my mission on this world.
Mama, you need not worry about me. I am very proud to go with the rest of my brothers.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just bow down over here to this little ring over here?
It won't help you. It's going to be a chilul Hashem. And I'm very happy to leave this world making a kiddush Hashem.
Finish him off!
No!
Well, Antiochus, now it gives you a little bit of idea of what we're up against.
Oh, Rabbi Nishalayim, I gave you seven sons as a carbon. Please, don't let them take me away as a prisoner. Take my neshama with them.
Bring me that mother! I'll get even by taking her as a prisoner!
She what? She just died?
Looks to me, Antiochus, that she just flew up to Olam Haba.
No! I'll get even with those Jews! I'll get even with them! They won't stop me!
I'm not going to ask you when the elephants are coming in. But let me ask you, when did the Maccabees come?
Let me tell you, my dear friend. Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol was a great tzaddik. When he heard what was going on, and they threw him out of the Beis HaMikdash, and he could no longer do the Avodah, he ran off and he hid in the caves of Midian.
And they're still hiding there today?
Not quite. You see, they didn't really know what was going on so much. However, Antiochus wanted to make sure that they will find out. He sent an evil general of his called Philippus.
So, you're getting together those Jews, eh? Some of them are still hiding in the caves. Men, what's doing in this cave over here? What is that strange song I hear coming out from the cave?
That, sir, is Zemiros of Shas.
What is that fragrance? This wonderful smell coming out of that cave?
That, sir, is Cholent.
This could kill Antiochus and his entire army! I warn you! Jews! Get out! Get out! You heard? Get out! How many people are in there?
Sir, there's maybe over 1,000 people in that cave.
Are you coming out right now?
What do you want from us? Leave us alone. Are we bothering you?
You're bothering me by continuing your Shabbos. Antiochus wants anyone to believe in the Greek gods. Now I warn you, come out here and desecrate the Shabbos.
We are not coming out.
Men, light a fire.
That's so foolish. A fire can't burn down a cave.
You don't understand, Yitzhak. They lit fires at the beginning of the caves, at the opening of the caves. The fire took away all the oxygen. The people in the caves suffocated to death.
But, I thought you're only supposed to risk your life for 3 averus: Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah.
In a time of Shmad, you can risk your life for any Yiddish minhag, even the way Yidden tie their shoes, and especially for Shabbos.
Tell me something, did he ever find the Maccabees?
Oh yes. Philippus continued on, and the Messianim helped him. And finally they came to Medin. Philippus went and he built a Mizbeach. And he ordered Mattisio to step forward.
Yo! Come over here! I want you to be Makriv Karbonos for Avodah Zarah!
Never.
Never!
Listen to me! My king will give you a lot of gold!
My king says no.
Alright, wanna do it the hard way, huh?
Listen here, I am one of the Mesyavnim. I will be more than happy. Give me that pig, and I will shecht it on your Mizbeach.
How dare you!
Quiet, you Machasho! Don't tell him what to do!
I won't tell him what to do, but I will tell him I will not let you be Mechal Shem Shemayim. We are going to be Meiser Nevesh ourselves for a tyrant.
And I am going to shecht this hog on the Mizbeach. And what are you going to do about it?
I will chop your head off!
Eh, he really did something about it. So tell me, what did Philippus say about this? What did Philippus say about this?
He didn't say much. He was shocked. But Mattisio went to war against the Greek soldiers. And the Greeks couldn't believe it, that the Jews were actually fighting them. They won a major battle, and the Greeks were running for their lives. Mattisio really was old and sick. He called his people together.
I want to tell you, my friends, this is not our way to Chas v'Shalom kill. But these people, they are bringing the Greeks to our caves, and they are murdering our men, women, and children. We cannot allow this to go any further. The Rabbi Nisham wants us to do this, and we will.
Did Mattisio have sons?
He had 5 sons: Shimon, Yehuda, Yochanan, Yonasan, and Elazar.
Shimon, my dear friend, I want people to ask your advice, and you should be in charge of all the spears. Yehuda, my dear friend, you will be like the king. I am pouring the Shemen HaMishcha on you. You will be the Melech. You should be in charge of all the bows and arrows. Yochanan, my dear friend, my dear son, you will be in charge of the people who come charging toward you with axes. And Yonasan, you will be in charge of the people who charge toward you with swords. And Elazar, you will be in charge of...
The elephants?
Yes.
Finally!
The Yavanim heard that Mattisio was Nifter, so they came charging. But they didn't realize that his sons were taking over.
There weren't too many of Yehuda's men, were they?
They were outnumbered. There were huge amounts of Greek soldiers. Yehuda's men began to tremble, and they began to cry. They said,
Yehuda, there are so many of them, and so few of us. They're going to destroy us. Huge, big armies are coming toward us.
But Yidden are not scared.
Yitzhak, where are you? Yitzhak, get out from under the seat.
Get a little scary, this part. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What happened? What did Yehuda say?
He told them, don't be frightened. It is easy for many to be handed over to a few. For the Rabbi Nishalayim, there is no difference between saving through a large force or saving through a tiny force. And we, tiny force, will attack the Greeks.
The Greeks ran for their lives. They didn't know what hit them.
Yehuda hit them, that's who. And where was Antiochus this whole time, I may ask?
He was in Egypt. He was furious when he heard what happened, but he needed money and he needed arms. He was desperate. He sent his best generals, Nicanor, Talmai, and Gorgas.
My best friends.
Nicanor was so confident that he was going to win that he hired slave traders in order to take care of the Jews that he's going to take as a prisoner.
Oy vey.
Yehuda saw in the sky a fiery horse and a rider, a sword and a spear charging towards the Yevanim.
Do you see, my friends? This is a simim in Hashemayim. What are you all scared of?
What are we scared of? That Greek army! They're huge! They're so big! We can't even see the end of them!
Yehuda stood up and he said,
"Whoever planted a vineyard may and did not have a chance to eat from its fruit can return home."
Oh, that's from the Pasuk. You must have learned the Pasuk.
"Whoever built a house and did not live there can return home." "Whoever married a woman and did not have a chance yet to be with her and make her happy can return home."
Yeah, I think I got a problem here. If I would have been there, I didn't plant a vineyard, I didn't build a house, I didn't get married, and I would be pretty scared.
And then he said,
"Whoever is scared and the feeble-minded,
that's me,
you may return home.
Bye."
"Stay here."
"Getting scared."
"Don't be scared." A huge army came.
Tell me something. All these wars are getting me mixed up. What's with our friend Antiochus? You know, the man who said he man who put up the altars of Isis in the Beis Hamikdash.
When he saw that army after army was losing, he finally came himself.
"You bumbling fools! I will destroy the Beis Hamikdash! I will show you once and for all!"
"And may I ask what happened?"
"You know what happened. His army's lost."
"And what happened to Antiochus?"
"He ran into some big trouble."
"Did it have anything to do with,
with an elephant?"
"Yes."
"Attack! Attack! Move those elephants in! Let's go! What's that elephant doing charging toward me? Oh no, my horse is getting scared! Whoa, whoa, no, put your front feet down! Whoa, whoa!"
Yeah, sounds like Antiochus landed pretty hard. If he would have been wearing his helmet, it would have...
I doubt it would have helped him. His bones were crushed.
"Quickly! Our dear king has been hurt!"
"Quickly, our dear king has been hurt! Pick me up! Get me out of here!"
"Carry him! Carry him!"
"That's not very easy, our dear king, if you know a very big king. Try to lift him! Try to lift him!
Lift me! Lift me! Get me out of here! We're losing the war! Lift me!"
"All right, lift the stretcher!"
Boing! The stretcher is very light now, because the king fell through the middle. Pick him up!
"What's with you, you bumbling bunch of fools? Pick me up!"
"We're trying, your majesty, but we don't have a crane. Don't you stop that!"
Suddenly, Antiochus' skin became full of leprosy, full of tsaras. His skin started to peel, and a terrible odor emanated from his body as his soldiers were trying to run with him. They dropped him.
"Oxygen tanks, help! Fresh air! Don't leave me here alone! Don't leave me here alone!"
"Ah, your majesty, quite frankly, we can't seem to get much closer to you."
"Woe is to me! This is what happens when you start off with Hashem! This is what happens when you try to make war instead of peace! This is what happens when you go and attack the Beis Hamikdash!
The Hashmenoim were finally able to make it back into the Beis Hamikdash. Unfortunately, they began to cry. When they came in through the gates of the Beis Hamikdash, they saw it full of Avodah Zarah. The doorways were burnt down, grass growing all over the place.
"Sounds like my room."
"Oh, and a huge big statue of Antiochus on the Mizbeach. They put ashes on their head, and they began to cry. They ripped their clothes."
"Sounds like what my brother does when he sees my room."
The Hashmenoim went, and they smashed the Mizbeach. He was metamed in the Mizbeach. They could not use it. They hid it in a special room. the Hashminoim were mispal, and according to others, the fire came down from the Mizbeach above, and then they came into the Heichal, and they tried to find some oil to light the menorah, but they could not find it.
Except for a tiny, tiny little jug with the seal of the Kohen Gadol.
Yes, but it would take 8 days to make new oil.
And there was only enough for one day. Even I know this part of the story.
And the Kodesh Baruch Hu made a tremendous nace.
And? And what happened?
You know what happened. Baruch Hashem, the oil was able to burn for 8 days. And the Hashminoim were very, very happy about this. Because it proved they didn't go to war for their own sake. They wouldn't have done that. They went to war only to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. They went to war only that people should believe in the Rabbi Shalaylam.
And then the Hashminoim lived happily ever after.
No.
But every tape ends that way.
Not if you want to hear the real story. The truth is, there were many, many battles with the Hashminoim even afterwards. I mean, they had a year of rest, but many of the other nations around couldn't take it that the Hashminoim were in charge.
So they went and they destroyed them all.
Not quite. Eliezer died trying to kill an elephant, but the elephant fell on him.
What? That's it. I'm angry at the elephant. I'm not even talking about them anymore. That's it. I am getting rid of all my elephants. Let me ask you something.
Sure.
And how come we have a Yom Tov when there was still a war afterwards?
Because the Yom Tov is not to celebrate the fact that we were strong and mighty and build armies. That's not what Yidden do in Golis. Yidden try to stay out of trouble and be nice and make a Kiddush Hashem. The Yom Tov is when these people felt that the Greeks were moving in with...
Don't give me a whole shmoosh, but I got it. When the Greeks were trying to take away our Amunah and belief in the Rabbeinu Shalom and destroy all the moral standards, then...
Hashem Shemayim, they were Moisei Nefesh themselves.
By the way, what does Maccabee mean?
What it means? It means to be strong. Furthermore, Yehuda, when he went to battle, he had a big shield. And you know what it said on the shield?
It said, come on,
It said, Mi Kamaicha Be'elim Hashem, the Rashi Tevis of Maccabee. And Maccabee is also... Rashi Tevois, Matis Yo, Ben Yoichanan, Kohen Gadol. And Maccabee is also Gematria 72, which is Chesed.
The bottom line is that Hashem did a great miracle for Klal Yisrael, and the little were able to do a lot because they decided they want to do tshuva, and we're going to start learning and believe in Hashem.
That's right.
And even little me can do a lot.
If you learn the proper lessons from the Chanukah story.